Chapter 64. A corner of the square mass swayed forward, sank, and vanished. A loud rumble followed, and a cloud of dust arose where all had previously been so clear. The church restorers have done it. ' said Elfride. At this minute Mr. Swankert was seen approaching them. He came up with a bustling demeanor, apparently much engrossed by some business in hand. "We have got the tower down." ', he exclaimed. "It came rather quicker than we intended it should. The first idea was to take it down stone by stone, you know. In doing this the crack widened considerably, and it was not believed safe for the men to stand upon the walls any longer. Then we decided to undermine it, and three men set to work at the weakest corner this afternoon. They had left off for the evening, intending to give the final blow tomorrow morning, and had been home about half an hour, when down it came. A very successful job, a very fine job indeed. But he was a tough old fellow in spite of the crack. ' Here Mr. Swankert wiped from his face the perspiration his excitement had caused him. "Poor old tower." ', said Elfride. "Yes, I am sorry for it," said Knight. "It was an interesting piece of antiquity, a local record of local art." But my dear sir, we shall have a new one," expostulated Mr. Swankert. "A splendid tower designed by a first-rate London man in the newest style of Gothic art, and full of Christian feeling."
Indeed.
Said Knight. "Oh yes. Not in the barbarous clumsy architecture of this neighborhood. You see nothing so rough and pagan anywhere else in England. When the men are gone, I would advise you to go and see the church before anything further is done to it. You can now sit in the chancel and look down the nave through the west arch and through that far out to sea. In fact," said Mr. Swankert significantly, "if a wedding were performed at the altar tomorrow morning, it might be witnessed from the deck of a ship on a voyage to the South Seas, with a good glass. However, after dinner, when the moon has risen, go up and see for yourselves." Knight assented with feverish readiness. He had decided within the last few minutes that he could not rest another night without further talk with Elfride upon the subject which now divided them. He was determined to know all, and relieve his disquiet in some way. Elfride would gladly have escaped further converse alone with him that night, but it seemed inevitable. Just after moonrise they left the house. How little any expectation of the moonlight prospect which was the ostensible reason of their pilgrimage had to do with Knight's real motive in getting the gentle girl again upon his arm, Elfride no less than himself well knew. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.